around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, it's a great joy to be with you today to share with you the Word of the Most High God. Without a doubt, there's great power, great authority in the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me make mention today of several things. Number one, right now we're scheduled to be in Branson, Missouri, September the 15th, 16th, and 17th. I'll be emceeing the conference for Steve Quayle, and I'll be preaching Sunday morning, and I will be serving communion following the service. We're going to bring my wife and one of my former members and my brother with me. We'll be doing some really great Holy Ghost Spirit-filled worship songs Sunday morning. Steve's heart and Steve's desire is to have a great Holy Ghost Spirit-filled service. And so we're doing our part to bring in the singers, the musicians that can play, and just have a great, great time in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if it's on our website yet or not, but if not, go to www.stevequayle.com. Go to Steve's website. Look on the very right side. You'll see a large banner addressing this conference. Dr. Michael Lake, Dr. Tom Horn, Steve Quayle, myself, Tim Alberino, and Dr. Michael Lake. And then there's a gentleman flying in from Spain. And Steve is sober. He's aware to the gravity of the conference. Thus, he wants to pour oil and wine into the people's hearts on Sunday morning. And that's what we're going to attempt to do on our part. I will not be speaking Friday or Saturday. I'll only be speaking Sunday morning myself. I'll be preaching. And as I said, my wife, my brother, of course, Linton will be with me. I may be playing the drums. I don't know. And then one of the ladies I used to pastor, Erin Daniel, she will be with us. And we'll be singing great Spirit-filled songs. It's going to be just a wonderful, wonderful time of music and of worship. And if the Holy Ghost does not take over, we'll be preaching the Word of the Most High God. So go to Steve Quayle's website. If you find it on our website, it will direct you to Steve's website. And we want to encourage you to come. We look forward to seeing many of you there. I've already spoken with several people who are coming from Texas. A dear brother has told me he's going to drive out here from the Carolinas. So people are hungry and people are thirsty for a move and a manifestation of God. One other footnote, we're finally getting our editing down pat. My son Linton is learning to get that done for me. So be more mindful of the YouTube videos. We're going to be putting up more YouTube videos. Just go to our website, go all the way down to the bottom, click on YouTube channel, and then you'll see the video list, and you'll be witnessing, hopefully. We want to try to get up a new video around every 3 weeks at least. Of course, these videos, some of them will be places I have been privileged to speak in small churches. Some of them will be where my wife and I and Linton come in the studio, and we act as though we're in church, and my wife will sing and I will preach the Word of God live in the studio. So put that on your agenda. Be mindful of these events. God willing, we hope to put together 3 to 4 of these conferences a year. I've been praying, my wife and I, since January, asking God to lead us and direct us in these meetings, and asking God to help us coordinate these things, whether it's someone else doing them or what, but we're just right now praying and waiting upon God to bring these events to fruition. We're willing, but it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to get together the audio, the sound, the video, of course, building websites and all of this stuff, registration, all of these things. Some people say, why do you register? Well, it helps people to know how to prepare. This particular meeting in Branson, Missouri, will seat about 3,500. The last time I spoke with Steve, he's already nearing 1,000 registers. So get in. Don't wait too late. I'm looking for God to do some great things in this year. This is a year, I believe, of God building a platform for the people of God who are true ministers of righteousness. God is going to make provision. God is going to open doors because God said this gospel must be preached in all the world. And, of course, you know we don't preach sermonettes. We preach the entirety of God's word. We do not balk. We do not pull back. We're not persuaded to lessen the message. I know it angers some people. I know it upsets some people. That's just a sign we're doing the right thing and we're preaching a pure, unadulterated gospel. The gospel will either make you happy or it will convict you and bring sorrow and conviction into your life, and you'll either repent and get right with God or you'll continue to go and continue in your waywardness. That's not what God wills. God desires that you be immensely and powerfully blessed. And I want to say today, before I get into the scriptures, I want to thank every one of you who are so faithful in supporting this ministry. I want to thank you from the depth of my heart. Whether it's $2, we get $2 gifts, and we have people sometimes who send $500. We are thankful. It takes money to run this ministry. It takes money to pay the bills. My wife sent out the newsletter the other day and came back from the post office after purchasing more stamps, and our stamp bill was $460 just for stamps and postage. Many do not have internet. God told me not to leave the older people behind. A lot of people today are going strictly internet ministry, internet radio. We're still doing shortwave. We're still mailing out newsletters. Yes, we post the newsletter on the website, but we mail out many newsletters to those who don't have computers, don't even have a shortwave. One dear sister, bless her heart, she's 80 years old. And she writes me every month and sends a love gift. And she loves the newsletters. So let me assure you, what you do is very important. And you know me, I don't beg for money. I do not solicit for money. I'm not like ministries who have share-a-thons every month trying to shake people down for money. We just trust God here. And the day that God does not supply the needs, well, we'll just retire. I'm 62 now. And live out my life in peace and tranquility, hopefully. But I don't perceive God letting me do that because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I'm going to be speaking to you today from a very sobering and some may question why I'm preaching and teaching today what I'm going to address. But God put something in my spirit the other day, and I'm going to address it. And I think when I get through addressing it, It will make all the sense in the world to you, because we are not supposed to be reproducing ourselves. We're supposed to be producing Jesus in our lives. Scripture passage that I'm about to share, I will show you scripturally how that God wants you for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Not for your sake, not for your will, not for your plans, not for your purpose, but for his kingdom's sake. His kingdom's sake. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 10. Y'all want you to listen very closely today. This may even offend some people. That's not my intent. That's not my heart. That's neither my purpose. My purpose is to shed light on the deep things of God. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 10. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs, which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs, which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs, which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. I want to use for a subject thought today, can you receive it? He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Verse 11, Jesus said, all men cannot receive this saying, save them to whom it is given. May the Lord add his rich blessings to the word of God. Can you receive it? What is a eunuch? In the Hebrew, a eunuch is a man that has been castrated. The reason for this castration would qualify this individual to be a minister of a state, chamberlain. Anytime you read in the Old Testament and you see the word chamberlain, that is a man that's been made a eunuch. Not only is this man a eunuch, but he is an officer, a minister of that particular state or government in the which is reigning at that particular time. In the Greek, it means the same thing. It means someone who has been castrated, someone who lives unmarried, someone that serves in the king's court as a state officer. And there's a reason behind what I'm going to be sharing today, and you'll get the understanding when we get down to the end of what Jesus said in our scripture text. Because he says clearly that this that he is speaking is about eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Now, the Bible is perforated with this mindset. One of the great passages of Scripture that addresses this is in Esther chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and to small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen, and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver, upon a pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And he gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagatha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains or by his eunuchs. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. These were eunuchs which were by man's doings. These men were not eunuchs being born that way, but the Bible says they were chamberlains. And as I said, anyone that wants to challenge my understanding, you're more than happy to, but look up the word chamberlain in the Hebrew, and you will see that it is a eunuch, not one that's born that way by a birth, but one that is made a eunuch by men. Now, there is a profuse reasoning behind making these men eunuchs, because they would associate them and put them in the nurture and care of all of these women under the state of the king. You see, a man that is a eunuch does not have the desire to be with a woman. That natural desire is totally waned and abated. This is nothing new. This also happened in the book of Daniel. Now, I know a lot of people are sitting there listening to me saying, what in the world is Pastor Lankford trying to get to? You've got to be patient with me, because I'm going to show you. This is not something that's new. This was always a part of the history in the Old Testament. Reading in Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed and of the princes. Now, I want to pause there for just a moment. Nebuchadnezzar charged Ashpenaz, master of the eunuchs, to bring certain of the children of Israel of the king's seed. This would be royal lineage of past previous kings, king's seed. Throughout the scriptures, now this is not sexist, I'm not a misogynist, I'm none of those things, I'm only a biblist and seeking the truth. Men are the only one that possess seed. A woman has eggs in her fertility. But from the very beginning, it has always been about the seed. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, early on, God was addressing the seed. Now, I do not believe, I do not think whatsoever there's any truth to the serpent seed doctrine. That's heresy. There's no scriptures anywhere that tell us that Satan slept with Eve. And I believe God gave me divine insight to substantiate that statement. Because every time that we witness in Genesis chapter 6, that fallen angels, and that's what Lucifer was, a fallen angel, slept with the daughters of men, they produced giants. We have no record of Eve producing giants. There's no indications anywhere in the Word of God that there were any aberrations, any anomalies of humanity through her procreation, her reproductive organs, and that she produced giants. That happened because Satan was knowing and understanding that God was going to bring a Savior into the world. How? Where? When? Satan did not know. So Satan thrust himself into a position and coercing fallen angels to seek themselves wives. Again, let me reiterate. It is all about the seed. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. We know after the flood, there were giants. David slew Goliath. In the Exodus, there were giants in the land. That's why the men came back, gave an evil report, said, we are as grasshoppers. We cannot defeat them. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Let me back up to Genesis 6, verse 2. The sons of God, the fallen angels, saw the daughters of men, and they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, I addressed this in my book when I exegeted the book of Jude. A very interesting rite. I've sold a few of those books. Obviously, people aren't interested in the understanding of the entirety of the book of Jude, but I address these things and why, and how that there were women who were approached by fallen angels, and they refused to be seduced. They refused to submit their bodies to fallen angels. So the Bible says, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So there was a choosing. There was a choosing in this that the fallen angels did. Now, God hated for men to be made eunuchs without their will. There was a provision in the book of Deuteronomy that addresses this issue. Now, I know this is deep. You'll never hear a preacher address things of this nature. I try to deliver unto you the entirety of the counsel of God at all times. God wanted every man to be able to reproduce. Now, as I said, there are anomalies and aberrations where men, Jesus said, they were born eunuchs. Remember my scripture text, Matthew 19 and 12. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. It was an aberration. It was an anomaly. But God willed that all men be able to reproduce because he told Noah, replenish the earth and multiply. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 11 and 12 says, when men strive or men fight together one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand, and taketh him by the secrets, then thou shalt cut off her hand, thine eye shall not pity her. Now, that's pretty clear without me having to elaborate. When a woman, or I should say a wife, was trying to deliver her husband in a fight, and she put forth her hand and would take the other party by the secrets for the purpose of crippling him, God said, then thou shalt cut off her hand. Thine eye shall not pity. Of course, under the law, God wanted all men to be able to reproduce. In the event a man could not reproduce, it was an utter disgrace. It was an utter disgrace for a man to be like that. How do we know? Deuteronomy 23, verses 1 and 2. He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So if a man was born with organs, or if a man had been wounded in his reproductive organs, he was denied the opportunity to enter into the congregation of the Lord. There's a spiritual application there about the seed. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm not talking about the seed of a man. I'm not talking about that God has bestowed upon men where they can procreate. I'm talking about the seed. Listen to me. I'm talking about the seed of the Word of God. The seed of the Word of God. I know this may be hard for some to grasp, some to understand, but nevertheless, I felt in my spirit several days ago to address this subject because, again, thinking about seed. Isaac was the promised seed, not Ishmael. Now, 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth thereof, but the word of God shall endure forever. This is a almost direct quote from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, which I just quoted for you. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth. We all know that to be so in the natural. The flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Peter is reiterating, he's reemphasizing that incorruptible seed, which is nothing other than the word of God. Now, Jesus said in our scripture text, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. That's what we witnessed in the book of Esther. That's what we witnessed in the book of Daniel. There are other references, but I won't get into them. But I wanted to use those two as a point of reference to establish the truth that these men were made that way so they could serve in the courts of all of the females. And they would be impotent. And they would have no earthly desire to be with these women. So they were made eunuchs by men. And then Jesus said, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Now, we know that Adam was made in God's image. Adam was not made in any other image but God's. Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. But something happened after the fall. Man was made in the image and in the likeness of God. But after the fall and procreation continued on, man was no longer creating himself in the image of God, but he was creating himself in his own image. And now I'm getting to my point. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Adam did not produce the likeness of God. I want you to get that. Adam did not produce in the likeness of God, but Adam reproduced after his likeness and after his image, and both were fallen. Both were fallen. You see, we have too many people in the church, too many professing Christians that are going around reproducing themselves, and that's not what you are to do. You are to be a reproduction of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We are sons and daughters of God through Abraham's seed. This that I speak of is a totally spiritual application. Thus Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't get this. You can't get to God. You can't get spiritually where you need to be unless you are producing Christ in your life. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Spirit of God. This process is a regenerating process. Let me quote it again, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Renewing of the Holy Ghost. Reproducing Christ through the Holy Ghost. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to every man that is among you, that a man ought not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You are not to be conformed to the world. You are to be conformed to the image and likeness of God. You cannot do that in your flesh. Thus, spiritually, you must become a eunuch for Christ's sake and for the kingdom of God. Why? That then allows the Holy Ghost, that allows Jehovah, that allows God's Word to reproduce himself in you, because then you have no seed. Because your seed, as Peter said, is corruptible. Now it's beginning to make sense, isn't it? What kind of crazy preacher would talk about castration and eunuchs? I'm trying to get you to see the spiritual application here. Thus Jesus said, for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Can you receive it, what I'm preaching today? I am not a eunuch in my flesh. I've had 4 children, and my wife miscarried once. I have the ability to reproduce myself, in a sense, in the natural, whether it be a daughter or a son. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the incorruptible, eternal Word of God. You see, Paul gives us a great measure of insight about himself, and that he chose to be a eunuch. Listen to me. He chose to be a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake. And I'll prove it here. I hope this is not making you crazy. But when I was studying this the other day, it just jumped out at me, something I had never seen before, because some are born eunuchs, some are castrated and made eunuchs by men, and then there are others that are eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. They made themselves eunuchs to serve in the king's court as a state officer. Spiritually, we're to be chamberlains, officers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. 1 Corinthians 7. I know, you've never heard nothing like this in your life. Don't get upset. Don't be offended. Listen to the spiritual application. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a woman not to touch a. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. That's why there should never be any deprivation, there should never be any depriving in the marriage, in the home. Thus, verse 5, defraud ye not one another. Do not defraud in a sexual application the needs of your spouse, except it be with consent for a time that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. In other words, you're consecrating yourself. You're becoming a spiritual eunuch. Are you getting this? You're becoming a spiritual eunuch. You're restraining, you're refraining from fulfilling your own earthly, fleshly desires so that you can give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again after you get through this time of consecration. Paul said, come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. The word incontinency there is talking about your sexual drive. Listen closely to verses 6 and 7. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. Now watch this. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. The ability to remain celibate, to have the gift of continence, is a gift from God. That a man or a woman could live as Paul and not be involved in a marital relationship. Now, I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs, but it's believed that Paul one time may have been married to have been a member of the Sanhedrin court. But I won't get into all of that. We know writing this, he's not married. Whether his wife died or what, nobody knows. At least under my research and studying, I've not found anybody to show me that Paul was physically, literally married, but under the auspices of the Sanhedrin, a man must be married. But we will not go there because that's not pertinent to the subject. It was a gift. It was a gift. Why was it a gift? For the kingdom of heaven's sake. For the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Can you receive it? Pastor, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you spiritually, we are not to be reproducing ourselves, but rather we are to be reproducing the nature and the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus, the Lord's Christ. I'm talking about being a spiritual eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. We hear this verse quoted all the time. I've quoted it probably thousands of times, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is about Christ's purpose. This has nothing about my purpose, nothing about my will, about my intent. This is all about Christ's purpose. Remember the words of Jesus in John 15, beginning at verse 1? I'm the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is the incorruptible word, the incorruptible seed. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no man can No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. No one can bring forth the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus Christ except you abide in Jesus Christ, which is the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You can't do anything. Oh, you can attempt. You can attempt, but it's worthless. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a powerful, powerful statement that the Apostle Paul makes in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. He was talking as a eunuch. I'm alive, but I'm not reproducing myself. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was desirous to reproduce Christ and not himself. Can I tell you, many are reproducing themselves. They're trying to get disciples and followers unto themselves and not after Jesus. I am not a eunuch physically. I want to be a eunuch spiritually for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Luke 9:23. If any man, and that means mankind, even a woman. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Make yourself a spiritual eunuch. I know as a man, men have a drive. Women have a drive. It's natural. It's normal. We're not talking about being born a eunuch. We're not talking about being made a eunuch. We're talking about being a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Now, I practiced celibacy for somewhere between 4 and 5 years. That was probably my hardest battle as a young man preaching. You can't be a good Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled preacher and be fornicating all the time. It doesn't work. I've said it from the pulpit. I'll say it again. I never had sexual relationship with my wife until I married her. God knows my heart. Did I want to? Come on. What normal man would not want to do that? What normal woman would not want to do that when they love each other? That's the normalcy. It's not a perversion. It's just sin because you're not married. You've not made covenant before God Almighty. Bless her heart, a dear lady emailed me from Germany the other day, talking about all of her problems. And yes, I prayed for her and I care about her. But she's shacking up and has children. And I said, you've got to get your life straightened out. God does not bless sin. God does not honor sin. God does not bless sinful works. He blesses fruitful spiritual works. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me when I pray. Proverbs 28:23, covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, Whoso confesseth, did I say Proverb 28:23? Proverb 28:13. Sometimes I have so many numbers in my mind, I don't know. My mind is on one subject and I'm thinking about another subject. Proverb 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You can't cover your sins. You can't regard iniquity in your heart. Just as a eunuch cannot reproduce, God doesn't want you reproducing yourself. He wants you to be fruit of His Spirit, reproducing Christ. If the vine is attached to the branch, and the branch is a grape vine, it's going to bring forth grapes. Christ must be fully living through His people. We are flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone, Paul the Apostle said. My book is getting nearer. I'm about to get a copy of it, The Mystery of the Church, The Bride of Christ. And this is going to blow so many people's minds, and it's going to disturb a lot of people and make a lot of people mad. It's already made my publisher mad, but I can't help he doesn't see what I see. I don't say that arrogantly. I don't say that with bigotry. I'm just telling you, Ephesians 5:30, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. How can the church be members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones, and yet say, no, we're the bride? How many times have you heard me say, we must reconcile the Scriptures? We must reconcile the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I don't see how you can be the body of Christ and members in particular and be a bride at the same time. Is Christ half man, half woman? I don't think so. There on that subject. Listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to close. Matthew 19:10, His disciples say unto Him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. Paul said, if you can live without marrying, don't marry. And let me say to us that are married, I know this will probably chap a few more people too. You know, it's, I know I sound arrogant at times, but if I didn't know the Bible, I wouldn't know these things. But 1 Corinthians 7:29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Paul said, you have a wife, be as though you have not a wife. Now what does that mean? That's how important the kingdom of God is. Jesus said, pray thy kingdom come. Jesus said, there are those that be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. That's why the topic today was, can you receive it? Can you receive it? Can you be a spiritual eunuch for Jesus Christ? Can you be so yielded to Christ that you reproduce Christ in you? Christ liveth in me. Let me quote it again. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live by faith, or the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let me quote it again, Galatians 2:20. I want to get this right. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Isn't that beautiful? What's Paul saying? He's saying, I'm a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. I'm not reproducing myself, because I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead. I don't reproduce myself. What I do reproduce, what I do manifest, is Christ living in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ liveth in me. That's powerful. That's hard. There are times, admittedly, some outward manifestations are not of Jesus. They're of David. That's David Langford, not the psalmist David. Remember this text today. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. There are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Again, the question is very simple. Can you receive it? Thank you. God bless you. We love you in the Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for reciprocating with us. And by the way, might I remind you, we're on every Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. with the Hagmans. They have embraced me as their pastor for the radio talk show and YouTube. And we're very humbled by that. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.